In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated.
Good morning. My name is Jan Weir, for those of you who don't know me, and I am the Godly Play Program Leader for our new Godly Play Program, which we started in September 2013. I co-lead with Amy Brodar, who plans the special events for our Children's Christian Education Program. And I was going to start this morning by having all the Godly Play players being our children stand up, but half of them just left. So the ones that are still here and you're in Godly Play, stand up. Stand up so everybody, just for real quick, just real quick. I see a couple more. We have about a total of 25 children enrolled in Godly Play right now. Thank you. You can sit back down now. These children are the reason we brought Godly Play Program to St. Peter's. And another big part of this program are Godly Play teachers. We have six of them. Amy Brodar, who's not here today, and Wendy Vargo, Cindy Hamaker, Danielle Smith, and Kim Thornton, as well as myself and Amy Brodar. And to say your children are in good hands, that's an understatement. We have two nurses, an elementary school psychologist, a business leader, a social worker, an interior decorator. So you have a cute classroom as well. 2013, like I said, was very significant in our children's Christian education program. It started in the fall, but let me back up to the spring of 2012 when we started gathering information about what Godly Play was like. Took several trips to the cathedral in Philadelphia where they run this program just to get mentored on it, learn about what's involved in bringing it to fruition, and learning the costs of the program. Fall 2013, we presented the Godly Play program to the vestry, which they loved, and then they asked how much it cost. It's a significant financial outlay to start with, but you have the materials for probably 30 years, so it's well worth the investment. But like the little engine that could, we're doing a lot with a little, but we're going to complete our classrooms over the course of several years. We have had so much support from the congregation through our Godly Play shower, which we held last spring, and raised $2,900 from the congregation to help purchase our materials. Our teachers, all six of them, are almost completely trained. We've all gone through three-day, full-day training programs to be certified Godly Play teachers, which is a huge investment in the time for all of these teachers. Also, we've had support from Meredith Wiggins at the Philadelphia Cathedral, who has mentored us and continues to mentor us in our effort to make Godly Play a wonderful program for St. Peter's, to Dawn Stewart, who is a Godly Play trainer. When we went about gathering materials for our program, we knew we couldn't buy it all at once, so we networked through the Godly Play community in the Philadelphia region and found out there was one church who had materials that weren't using them. St. Paul's Elkins Park donated several Godly Play story materials to our classroom, which helped tremendously. Mike O'Rourke, who built all of our shelves for the program, he worked all spring and summer to build all the shelves, finish them, and bring them. You don't know how much that saved us, and they're beautiful shelves they'll have for many, many years. Gary Russell and Mike also helped paint our classroom. Congregation supported us with the shower, and all our teachers who continue to help, you know, bring this sacred experience to our children. The diocese is also to be thanked. The teachers needed to be trained. It cost $350 per teacher per training session. The dais supported us by half with scholarship money to be trained. In September, our classes began. We have two classrooms, one for ages 3 through 2nd grade and one for grades 3 through 5th grade. And like I said, we have 25 children enrolled to date. And the children have done so well transitioning to this brand new type of program. We had a parents' open house in the fall, and The children just really love these stories. They like the art response to the stories. And you would be amazed how quiet this group of children is when they're so intently engrossed in the stories and working on the stories. So we had this parent open house. They came, they heard a story, and then the children just went about their business of a normal classroom day. And it was so quiet. I think it was Karen Martz turned to me and said, "Are they always like this?" And I said, yes, they always are. They're amazing. Mm-hmm. We've continued to do some special events that have worked well for us in the past. Our children had a tour of the food pantry. We took the Godly Play program on the road next door at St. Peter's Place this fall, and Amy Brodar presented to some of the residents there the story of the Holy Family. And we also did our annual Christmas pageant, which I'm sure many of you saw. The congregation is encouraged to learn more about this program. We also welcome anyone who would like to be a part of the program. There is a position in the classroom called the doorkeeper that helps in the smooth running of the program, and that's what we're seeking volunteers to do. You do not have to go through the complete Godly Play program to help with that, and you can do it on as your schedule fits type of basis. So thank you, everyone. As a teacher, I love teaching it. I would do it every week, but we do have a rotation. And it's just a wonderful experience as a teacher and as a child. And I thank you all for your support.
Good morning. First, I'd like to add my thanks to Jan and Amy and all the people involved in Godly Play, because it's been a great blessing to our congregation. It's a wonderful program and bodes well for our future. I'm standing here this morning to speak about universal accessibility and the projects we have left to complete. Before I do that, I would like to first thank the congregation for their support throughout the process. We had a very successful campaign. And a large part of the reason we had a successful campaign was due to the leadership of Mike Logar, who was the Capital Campaign Chairperson. His motivational and organizational skills are well known in our congregation. And his leadership and strength in leadership was a great part of the success of this campaign. So that's all I'm going to say, Mike. I'd also like to thank the members of the committee who worked very hard to bring this all about. And so we've completed the major part of the campaign improvements to the building, which are intended to be something like 50-year improvements. So, of course, we had the two new bathrooms, that everybody knows about those. But some of the things a little less obvious were the roof. We replaced two of the hot roofs that are up there, and they should last for a long time. We had a lot of electrical work done, bringing us up to code. The stained glass windows, of course, and the egress, some of the egress doors in the building. So now we're down to the last items in the campaign, which will be completed this year. First of all, there are some phase two roof improvements and repairs that have to be done. The whole building will be retrofitted with brand new downspouts and gutters and downspouts that are high quality and will last a long time. And the Lady Chapel will be treated on the outside and repointing done on the outside to preserve that part of the building for a long time as well. Included in the universal access part of the campaign is improvements to the parking lot. We will be having the two big trees taken out of there very soon, and the universal access ramp itself, of course, will come from the parking lot where the steps are now, straight over and come into this door right here, and will be a nice level accessibility for everyone into that side of the building right there. As far as the parking lot's concerned, we hope we will have about 5 additional parking spaces. So that will be an improvement to a long-range program for the church as well. So again, thanks to everyone who made this possible, particularly to Mike and the members of the committee, not to mention the congregation who gave the money and supported the program so well. So thanks very much. If you have any questions about anything, you can see me downstairs afterwards or email me anytime. I'd be glad to answer your questions. Thank you.
Good morning. I don't think I need an introduction. I'm here this morning to tell you that the food pantry is alive and well. We're moving along very well with that. We're serving about 100 clients every other week, plus 20 clients over at St. Peter's Place, and we're looking to try and include the Episcopal House and Pennsylvania House in this program also down the road. We have a young group of Girl Scouts that come in every other Saturday, and they have taken on as a project to make sure that the folks that cannot get here from St. Peter's Place have food to take care of themselves for the next 2 weeks. So they've been delivering. They load up the grocery carts, three of them, and they take them over there and distribute the food to the folks over there, which is a blessing for all of them. I want to thank those who are serving on the committee, the big committee, and there's a lot of folks here who have been working behind the scenes, and we greatly appreciate that. But Gary is, I guess, our quasi-chairman. Myself, Carol Smith, Aaron Hall, and I think I'm forgetting someone, but I'm not sure who it is. Oh, Doreen. Doreen's not here this morning. So that's the steering committee that's been trying to keep things going for the pantry. What we give them every week, we get a donation of bread from Panera's every week. The week that we don't have pantry, it goes over to Orion and Good Samaritan. The weeks that we have it, we package it up in bags so that they can get it out, and each person gets some good fresh bread that comes from Panera. It's wonderful bread. We've changed things around a little bit this year from what we've done in the past. They used to come in and we'd give them a bag of food and away they would go. And what we've done now is we set it up almost like a little grocery store so that people can come in and they get a list of items that are available, and we put a volunteer with them to help move things along, and they go through the system now and pick out their own groceries, which is a good thing, because we've had a number of diabetics, people that can't eat certain foods, and we would get a lot of stuff back. So rather than have waste or things that people couldn't use, it works out better that way. They can come in and get what they need. We had our big drives at Easter and Christmas and Thanksgiving. We served over 170 people at Christmas and Easter this year, which is phenomenal. Just trying to think how we can go here with the rest of this. We have an excellent base of volunteers, but we can always use more. There's, especially now that we have folks going through on a one-to-one basis, we need volunteers to help each individual client as they go through, and we rotate them through, and it works out. It works out well that way. Every client is invited to sit down for breakfast. We have four different churches, including our own, that come in here to do breakfast on the Saturday mornings that we're open. The George Washington Memorial Chapel brings a group in, St. Anne's Roman Catholic Church, and the Vineyard Community Church of Spring City, or Chester Springs. They come in on their assigned weekends and prepare breakfast for 120, 130 people. So it's, and there's not usually too much left over, which is a good thing. Again, as Gary said, if there's any questions or anything, I'll be downstairs afterwards. I'm not going to take more time here. I just want to thank everyone for all the support that you've given us with the food pantry, and with your continued help, it'll continue to be a great success. Thank you.